Islamic education and this there's
an answer for that.
Yeah.
Like first of all, we need to look, what is modern education teaching you?
Dear listeners, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Up until now, let's go for a short break and I'll be back in no time.
Sister, you're studying English literature, right?
Yeah.
What have you learned?
A lot of philosophy, a lot of...
You're in university now.
Yeah, okay. No, I have finished university.
Alhamdulillah. Prior to that, how did you get to university? Did they teach you, this is what this poet says, this is what this writer said? No.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're able to figure that out yourself.
Yeah.
What did you learn when you were younger?
Well, I went for it myself.
But you were taught how? You were taught how to read and write.
Yes, of course.
How to think analytically.
Yes. But don't you think it's something individual? I mean, the thing I did was something that came out of my mind. Why my other classmates were not just interested?
It is, but we're talking about the education system here, right? I agree. You put your own efforts into it. Of course, that it comes down to the individual in that sense.
Okay, I guess you're questioning over the system of education.
Yes.
Not the Islamic education itself.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the point.
Well, initially, okay, look, I just said that to play devil's advocate that I was saying, you know, we don't need Islamic education. We do need Islamic education.
Considering what Brother Muzaffar said, what do you think? If we just teach our children, the students, the main sources in order to get the answers for all the issues that might happen to them?
Okay, like first, like in the beginning of the show, like where I pointed at the issues that we face or the doubts we come across, there was just like one of the factors we require Islamic education for.
But I think it's a really important factor, though.
Yeah, it's one of the factors, but not the only factor. So what I meant was, where do children get the knowledge about Islam from? Like, the first thing is their parents, right? So what, even the parents in today's world, they might not be that well Islamically, you know, educated. Like,
exactly.
So, you know, what's the main source of their knowledge? What did they get knowledge from? You know, people usually get their main sources, you know, at least at the beginning stage, when they get to know about Islam. Like, first is their parents, and then the mimbar. You know, no one in the beginning starts, you know, takes Quran and read the
Fasir.
And
then, of course, the media is also working out in here.
Yeah, around, you know, it's, you know, the environment, like, whatever... they get from the environment, from across their living.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a main source of Islamic education, right? So, as a question, again, you know, once again, thinking about the question, like concerning the question, like, what is the role of Islamic education in today's modern education? So we have to look what modern life is teaching us. Today, how, you know, the rich people are controlling the minds of the world. You know, what are they inserting in people's mind? And this all this new propaganda of LGBT and all. So this, all this crap is being served to you. Where have ethics gone? Like,
So for the need of the today's requirements of the life, we have to know more about our religion.
Exactly. And the main part and the main role of Islamic education is the identification between right and wrong.
Exactly.
It helps you tell, like, what is right and what is wrong.
Yeah.
So that's the reason you need Islamic education. You know, all the crap you're being served in today's world. Like, how are you going to defend it?
A person at their 20s, they need to have some religious studies because they are so, I don't want to say ignorant, because they do not know many of the things that is related to their religion. So if they get with an issue, if they are confronted with a problem or issue related to their life, they don't know how to answer it regarding to their religion. That's why I guess this modern life needs more studies.
You're saying that the solution is Islamic education.
Yeah.
Okay, what is that?
The Quran and Ahlul Bayt.
Ahsantum, what is that? That's Islamic education,
hang
right?
Hang on.
As Muslim people who are living in this modern life and there is too much of things in our plate, we need to know more about our religion.
Yeah.
Now, there must be a special system for that. We have to work on it, and it's not just going for through theoretical things and the story is done. No, we have to go for more of works in there for special teachers, perhaps, for a special kind of method to teach a student about religion and so on. But still, the thing which is very much clear, and we have to take it as a fact, is the thing that we need to have religious studies in order to get more prepared for our life.
So we have reached a certain point, I guess, that it is required.
And
the thing is, how is it supposed to be implemented?
Yeah, right.
And that's it. This is all the time that we had for today's episode. I hope you just enjoyed it. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.
In the limelight.
After collapse of two major U.S. banks and record capital outflows from smaller lending banks, America's banking industry, which was worried about a banking crisis, is now worried about economic growth. Economic experts say that the recent pressures in the banking sector and the possibility of destroying their credit in the next stage will bring America closer to recession. We have taken a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. Cable news network CNN has covered the story and tells us more. According to notes from the Federal Reserve's March policy meeting released, the fallout from the recent banking crisis is likely to push the U.S. economy into a mild recession later on this year. Since November of 2022, economists at the Federal Reserve have predicted subdued growth and a weakening economy during policy decision meetings. In March, they said the banking crisis heightened the forecast for recession. Minutes from the U.S. Federal Reserve's most recent two-day monetary policy meeting on 21st and 22nd of March noted, taking into account the potential economic effects of the recent banking sector developments, U.S. Federal Reserve economists' projection at the time of the March meeting included a mild recession starting later on this year. This is the first time in the current hiking cycle that staff economists have forecast such a recession. Nancy Davis, founder of the Quadratic Capital Management, in a note recently said, "The main takeaway from Wednesday's 12th of April Federal Reserve minutes is that the central bank anticipates a mild recession in late 2023 and that the soft landing window seems to be closing quickly." According to the minutes, policymakers at the U.S. Federal Reserve voted unanimously recently for a smaller interest rate increase after turbulence in the banking industry set off fears of bank runs. The notes released on Wednesday afternoon, 12th of April, highlighted the uncertainty behind the decision, which came just days after the failure of the Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. U.S. Federal Reserve officials raised the benchmark lending rate by a quarter of a percentage point, the ninth rate hike in a row. CNBC has also covered this story and tells us more. According to the minutes from the U.S. Federal Reserve's most recent two-day monetary policy meeting, some participants noted that given persistently high inflation and the strength of the recent economic data, they would have considered a half a percentage point increase in the target range to have been appropriate at this meeting in the absence of the recent developments in the banking sector. Given those projections and their own economic uncertainty, policymakers judged it prudent to increase the target range by a smaller increment at this meeting. Policymakers also claimed that actions taken by the U.S. Federal Reserve and other government agencies to mitigate possible contagion and secure the U.S. financial system had quelled immediate fears and calmed conditions in the banking sector. Because of that, they said, they thought it was appropriate to address strong economic data and sticky inflation rates by raising interest rates by a quarter of a percentage point instead of pausing altogether. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell said at a news conference following the conclusion of the March policymaking meeting, while bank failures can erode confidence in the banking industry, they can make borrowing harder, which can also curb spending and ease some pressure on prices and the labor market. Claiming that the banking industry remained sound, Jerome Powell said, such a tightening in financial conditions would work in the same direction as rate tightening. Silicon Valley Bank's collapse was the second largest bank failure in U.S. history and underpins the worst banking crisis since the Great Recession. The bank, which had over $200 billion in total assets at the end of last year, primarily provided banking services to venture-backed technology companies. The turbulence in the technology industry meant many customers were burning through cash and taking out their money at a faster pace. Signature Bank was the other casualty of the U.S. banking industry's recent turmoil, and later, Swiss banking giant Credit Suisse, which was forced to merge with its longtime rival, UBS, as a remedy. The Reuters news agency has also covered this story and tells us more. Deposits at three United States financial institutions fell in the first quarter as the industry's biggest crisis in more than 10 years prompted a flight of funds, with customers seeking better returns elsewhere. Deposits at custodian banks State Street Corp and regional bank M&T Bank Corp fell by 3% each, while those at Charles Schwab Corporation shrank by 11% from the prior quarter. State Street stock plunged by 11%, dragging down its peers Northern Trust Corp and Bank of New York Mellon Corp. Shares of brokerages and financial advisory firm Schwab were up 2.8% in afternoon trading, and M&T Bank shares were up 7%. The results mark a mixed start to a busy week during which a number of U.S. regional lenders are expected to report earnings and the impact of the crumbling of the two banks in the country recently. Investors will also be passing executive commentary for details on the economic impact of the Federal Reserve's quantitative tightening, which has boosted the income earned via lending, but has at the same time given rise to uncertainty. Both Schwab and M&T Bank rode a surge in interest income to beat profit expectations, but State Street fell short after an outflow of client funds hurt its fees. Credit Suisse analyst Susan Katzke wrote in a research note that the State Street's earnings fell short of estimates due to lower than expected net interest income. Susan Katzke wrote, the firm showed heavier outflows from non-interest-bearing accounts. U.S. Federal Reserve data released on Friday, 14th of April, showed deposits at all commercial banks in the country rose to $17.43 trillion in the week ending 5th of April, an increase that was generally evenly shared between the largest 25 banks as well as the small and mid-sized banks. That left deposits at the largest banks above the levels before the collapse of the Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. Deposits at small banks were still short of their previous levels. Schwab, which was caught up in the recent crisis, paused stock buybacks but moved to allay concerns about its financial strength. Its chief executive officer, Walter Bettinger, addressed commentary about portfolios of debt securities held by banks, including Schwab, which are disclosed as unrealized losses in their earnings. Fitch senior director Bain Rumor said Schwab's net revenue may be modestly pressured throughout 2023 as higher cost funding sources weigh on net interest income, but the firm's size and scale should support profit margins at levels consistent with historical levels.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to talk about the rules of taqlid or following a religious scholar, a jurisprudential scholar, according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini. The son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, "We testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching Makassas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching, one can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Mahaj Adha, host in this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. The topic we are discussing with Sheikh Javed is the rules of Taqlid. Sheikh Javed, is the knowledge of the current times, the status quo and the circumstances, one of the conditions of ijtihad? Definitely refer to a few points in the previous program regarding the conditions and the characteristics of a religious scholar. Would you shed also some light on this issue and this question too, please?
Well, the knowledge of current times and developments is important, and it plays some role with respect to certain issues. And there's a hadith which says, "Al-alim bizamanihi la tahjum alayhi al-lawabis." So a person, an alim or a scholar who knows his time and the requirements of his time, he will not be he will not have problem with regard to identifying the causes and the roots of the problems, and you know, he will not be confused with the issues surrounding him. So it is very essential, and it's very important for a religious authority not only to have knowledge of the acts of worship or the rites of worship and knowledge of the transactions, but he should also have knowledge of political, economical and social issues, which can play a very critical, a very vital role in his fatwa. So his knowledge of such issues, of the circumstances and developments, will help him give more precise fatwa with regards to those developments. So according to His Eminence, of course, knowledge of the current times and developments does play a role in certain issues.
Mm-hmm, I see. Is it required, Sheikh Chabi, to follow only the most learned mujtahid or marja? And what is the criterion for this, like for being the most learned mujtahid?
Well, His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei says that it is a precaution to follow the most learned mujtahid, the most knowledgeable scholar with respect to issues in which his fatwas fatwa differ from that of others, you know, he should be learned. You know, there are some areas of Islamic jurisprudence where two scholars, three scholars, or even all the scholars are unanimous about. There is a consensus about those issues, especially those issues which are not ambiguous, which are not inconspicuous. But when it comes to those disputed areas, it is a precaution that one should follow the one who is the most learned.
Yes.
Because the more learned a person or a scholar is, the more precise, the more exact his answers, his rulings will be. And Ayatollah Khamenei says that the criterion of being the most learned is to have a greater competence when compared to the other mujtahids in certain areas. Like, for example, identifying the divine laws, inferring the Sharia rules from their proofs or from the sources in a way that is obvious for the experts that he is different from the others. And also being more aware of the events of his time insofar as it affects identifying the subject of religious rules. So these are some areas in which the mujtahid must be more competent.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and we'll be back. Continue our program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, yeah, Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. The topic is still the rules of taqlid. Sheikh Javid, if one thinks that the most learned mujtahid that is going to follow lacks some qualifications, some qualities,
yes,
can this individual follow another mujtahid based on this? Is his taqlid or her taqlid valid?
Well, as a normal individual, as a laity, a person is not in a position to tell whether, for example, a certain mujtahid is qualified or not, whether he lacks some qualifications or not, because he's not supposed to make such a judgment, and he's nowhere to understand that. So, in fact, according to precaution, the mere probability that the most learned mujtahid lacks the required qualifications actually does not make it permissible to follow a mujtahid who is not the most learned scholar in issues, you know, upon which the two scholars disagree. You know, this mere probability should not allow him to refer to another mujtahid.
Mm-hmm.
He should stay in taqlid of the same mujtahid who is supposed to be the most learned mujtahid. And unfortunately, we see that some people try to look for a mujtahid who gives an easier, more practical
fatwa.
That's not the criterion.
Mm-hmm.
The easier the fatwa, the better it is. It's not. No one has said that if someone, since his fatwa is more practical, easier, then he is the most qualified mujtahid. That's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
In order to identify the most learned mujtahid, we should seek the advice of the jurists, the scholars, and the students of the Hawza. They will let us know who the most qualified mujtahid is.
I see. Sheikh Javed, is it permissible to follow a board of mujtahids, a board of religious scholars, each of whom are, learned and very knowledgeable in a particular issue, for example, or being, or having expertise in those specific areas?
You're right. And this is a question which has been brought up recently, and there are some people who know, who keep asking this question, whether it's permissible to have a board of scholars. Of course, there is no problem with dividing one's taqlid between many mujtahids, because if there is a board of scholars and a board of jurists and fuqaha who are better qualified in their own in a specific field of Islamic jurisprudence, it is quite permissible. So according to His Eminence, tab'iz is permissible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tab'iz, the idea of tab'iz is to divide one's taqlid among various scholars who are supposed to be better qualified in certain fields of Islamic mm-hmm. laws. For example, there is a mujtahid who is better qualified in this, and there's another mujtahid who is better qualified in the issues regarding transactions.
Right.
There's another mujtahid who has more knowledge or better qualified in the areas of acts of worship or prayers or pilgrimage and mm-hmm. so on and so forth.
Yes.
So it is quite permissible, according to His Eminence, to follow different mujtahids in different areas of Islamic laws, provided that they are qualified, they are the best qualified scholars in their fields,
mm-hmm.
or maybe they are equally qualified.
Mm-hmm.
If we have scholars, a number of scholars who are equally qualified, then it is permissible to follow each one of them.
Thank you very much, Shabit. Thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. We bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو.
In the limelight.
The Zionist regime has renewed bombing Gaza after killing 13 Palestinians. Two more people are killed in the first strike, taking the day's death toll to 15. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Middle East Eye wrote in this regard, the Zionist regime fighter jets renewed their bombing of the Gaza Strip recently, hours after killing 13 people, including 10 civilians. Local media reported that an air raid targeted a vehicle in Qarara town in Khan Yunis, near the eastern fence separating Gaza and the occupied territories, resulting in two additional fatalities, bringing the day's total death toll to 15. The Zionist regime military said that the strike targeted an anti-tank guided missile cell.
The attack followed several raids by the Israeli regime military in Gaza, which began shortly after 2 a.m. local time and killed at least 4 children, 5 women, and 3 Palestinian Islamic Jihad commanders. Another 22 people were wounded in the morning raid, including 3 children and 7 women, some of whom are in a serious and critical condition. In response, the Joint Operations Room, JOR, an umbrella body of armed factions in Gaza, including Hamas and PIJ, issued a statement warning that the Zionist regime will pay the price for the raids. Meanwhile, hundreds of Israelis living in cities near the Gaza border have evacuated to the other parts of the territory, anticipating reprisal attacks. Bomb shelters have been opened and roads and beaches have been closed. Netanyahu said that he had ordered the targeting of the Islamic Jihad leaders following the recent rocket fire and that Israel prepared for any possibility. Palestinian armed groups had fired rockets towards the occupied territories following the death of Palestinian prisoner Khadr Adnan in an Israeli regime prison following nearly 3 months of hunger strike. A brief exchange of fire ensued, leaving one Palestinian killed and 2 Israelis wounded. The Islamic Jihad is considered the second largest armed group in the Gaza Strip behind Islamic Resistance Movement of Hamas, which governs the enclave. The group said in a statement that a response to the Zionist regime aggression will not take long. The recent airstrikes were the largest attack mounted by the fabricated regime of Israel against Gaza since August last year, when the military assassinated senior PIJ commander Taysir al-Jabari, triggering a 3-day exchange of fire. At least 49 Palestinians were killed in 2022 Israeli regime bombardment, including 17 children, and 360 others were wounded. Meanwhile, Middle East Eye reported Ahmad Asaf and Rani Qatanat were killed in a raid on Qabtia town near the city of Jenin. The Zionist regime forces killed 2 Palestinians in a dawn raid on the town of Qabtia in the occupied West Bank recently. The Palestinian Health Ministry identified the 2 men as Ahmad Jamal Tawfiq Asaf, a 19-year-old from Qabtia, and Rani Walid Qatanat, a 24-year-old resident of Jenin refugee camp. The Zionist regime forces sprayed a vehicle with bullets, killing Assad and Qatanat and wounding 3 others, according to local reports. The Zionist regime military said in a statement that assailants opened fire at IDF troops from a vehicle, and the troops responded with live fire. Eyewitnesses said a large army force raided the town near the northern city of Jenin under a heavy presence of drones and closed down the town's main streets. The Zionist regime forces ordered cars not to move through loudspeakers and stormed a number of Palestinian homes and surrounded others. Heavy gunfire and explosions were heard around the town as fighting then broke out between the Zionist regime forces and armed residents, eyewitnesses said. The incident brings the total number of Palestinians killed by Zionist regime forces so far this year to 108. A total of 19 Israelis have been killed over the same period. The recent raid comes a day after a series of Zionist regime strikes in the Gaza Strip killed 3 Islamic Jihad commanders and 12 civilians, including 4 children, leaving the 2 sides braced for a flare-up. Meanwhile, a Wafa news agency reported Israeli regime bulldozers recently demolished two Palestinian-owned apartments in the town of Jabal al-Mukabbar in the occupied city of Al-Quds under the pretext that they were built without a permit. According to sources, the two apartments were 220 square meters each, owned by brothers Faraz and Ali Shogairat and inhabited by 10 people, mostly children. Faraz said that he had received a demolition notice from the Zionist regime authorities last February and that all the attempts to prevent the demolition of his apartment and his brother Ali's apartment were unsuccessful, pointing out that the occupation municipality court issued a decision about 2 months ago to freeze the demolition decision until next September. But he and his brother were informed by the lawyer last week that the municipality had submitted a request to the court to cancel the freezing decision, and the court approved the demolition.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. السلام عليكم brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions and practical tajweed rules, step by step, verse by verse. Inshallah, we're here with you. And I really welcome you all. Thanks for joining IRIB English Radio. Fawad Haider, Salam, Hassan, Hussein, and Ali Nasir, welcome, brothers. Is everyone fine?
Alhamdulillah.
So, inshallah, let's go and start our class. Inshallah, today we'll talk about Ayah 102 and 103 of Surah Ali Imran on page 60. Right?
Yes.
Let's everyone listen to the recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تهتدون.
Nice recitation, Alhamdulillah, amazing. Allah bless the reciter, inshallah. So, on Ayah 102, Allah Almighty says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون واعتصموا بحبل الله
جميعا ولا تفرقوا واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تهتدون. So Allah Almighty says in Ayah 102, Hassan Hussein Ali Nasir Fawad, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, you are also, alhamdulillah, amongst the people of believers. O you who have faith. Allah Almighty talks to all of us. Okay? Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasir, me, brothers here, those who listen to us, brothers and sisters, inshallah, we are amongst the believers. So Allah Almighty talks to us. Fawad, what does Allah Almighty says? Ittaqullah. Ittaqullah. Okay? Allah Almighty says, be wary of Allah. Means be pious. Okay? Yes. Practice taqwa. Haqqa tuqatih. Okay? Ittaqullah haqqa tuqatih. Be wary of Allah with the wariness due to Him. Okay? وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ. It means be perform taqwa, practice taqwa, taqwa of Allah the way He deserves. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ. And do not die, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasir. Do not die, illa wa antum muslimun. And do not die except as Muslims. This was what Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam and Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam actually told his children, okay? That, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ illa wa antum muslimun. I think that was the ayah that in Surah Al-Baqarah, that O children, do not die except
being
as a Muslim. Okay, as Muslims.
Yes.
This is important, guys. This is not very, very much difficult to be a Muslim. Okay, we are Muslims. The difficult thing is to stay being Muslim, stay being believers. This is very much important. Allah Almighty says in the next ayah, wa'atasimu bihablillahi jami'a. Hold fast all together to Allah's cord. Hablillah, in a hadith we have, this is Imam of time. This is Imam of the time for anyone. In the time of after the Prophet, in the time of Prophet, it was Prophet. In the time of, it's Islam, Prophet, the book, Quran, okay? So the Prophet is, of course, there, okay? So Hablillah, the cord or the rope of Allah, you know? The rope of Allah. وَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ jami'a. You all have to, okay, what? Hold fast this habl. In a hadith, Imam Ali alayhi salam is the hablillah al-mateen.
Yes.
وَصِرَاتَهُ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ.
Yeah.
In dua nudba as well, we have this, yes? It's taken from the Quran. وَعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. This is very important. Unity between Muslims is very much important. It's very much important. If the people listen to the religion, it's okay, good. There will be no kind of misbehaviors, no, inshallah, no problems. But if the people do not listen to the prophets, do not follow the prophets, okay, it's better to keep them united instead of keeping them apart. So Allah Almighty says, وَعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا and وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. That the ayah continues and the explanation is too much. I just read the translation to you, okay? Then inshallah you can refer to the tafasir books.
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Savior International Schools, presents Let's recite the Quran.
Now we will mention some of the important tajweed rules, then shall we practice, alright?
Okay, yes. Sir.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah. No special rule because we've mentioned all the mad, the dhal, these things in the previous sessions also. Ittaqullaha haqqa tuqatihi. Just remember the letter qaf is a heavy letter. Tuqatihi, that fallen ya. Here it's important. Wala tamutunna. Nun mushaddid is important. Illa wa antum. Antum. Ikhfa, hide the sound of nun. Antum mim. Muslimun, also mim mushaddad there, okay? Next ayah, wa'tasimu bihablillahi jami'an. Bihablillah,
qalqala,
you bounce the sound. Lillahi, jami'an, tanween, plus waw, jami'aw. Wala tafarraqu. Yes, tafarraqu. Jim says, that is jayz, it's okay to stop or continue. وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. There is no special rule, just the letter lam and the word Allah is pronounced heavily. نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ. Nun sakin. After nun sakin, we have ta.
إِخْفَى.
Hide the sound. كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً. أَعْدَاءً. The mad is wajib here, Ali Nasir, yes? The alif mad and the hamza are in the same word. Yeah?
So yes. Actually, there are two ikhfa. In kuntum.
Kuntum. How?
Id. No.
No, there's kuntum yeah, only.
It is sakin.
Yeah. Then, yeah. A'da'an fa'allafa. That's ikhfa, yes. A'da'an fa'allafa bayna qulubikum fa'asbahtum. Aha. Tum. Mim sakin. After mim sakin, ba.
Ikhfa.
Yeah. Mim sakin plus ba. Ikhfa of meme. Meme sa nun sakin plus ba? Iqlab of noon. Which is also ikhfa of meme. We yes, apply instead, yeah. Yes? Instead of noon. Fa'asbahtum bi ni'matihi. You can stretch this out. Fa'asbahtum bi ni'matihi ikhwana. If you stop, tanween is changed to alif mat. Ikhwana wa kuntum. Tanween plus waw. Idgham. Merge the sounds. كنتم إخفاء the same as أنتم على شفا حفرة إدغام again من النار إدغام again فأنقذكم إخفاء again hide the sound of نون منها نون ساكين ها إظهار pronounce the نون كذلك قلا tells you it's better to
stop
but you still can continue reciting or joining the two parts of the ayah here, the left and right. كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ. The following ya is there. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. عَيْن, لَام, ذَال. These letters are important. حَا. Make sure you pronounce them correctly. Yeah. Let's, 1 minute we got, and the last minute in this session, we will practice the recitation now that we have learned the tajweed rules. Ready?
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون.
واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا.
واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا.
واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا
واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم
أحسن that's good فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا
فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا
فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها
فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها
أحسنت ما شاء الله to Hussein Allah bless you inshallah the only one who goes till the end that's great كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تهتدون
كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تهتدون
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنتم ما شاء الله الله bless you thank you so much brothers and sisters alhamdulillah we explained a bit about this ayah and then we mentioned the important tajweed rules we practiced the recitation That's all from us for today. Inshallah, we'll be here with you in the coming sessions. Stay with IRB English Radio. Thank you so much for being with us up to this time. Brothers here, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Ali, Nasir. And inshallah, we'll be here again with you. See you. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi al-Tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum
Let's recite the Quran A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio.